Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show, the hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriage between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women living in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So good evening to our listeners, and good evening, Misty. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Good evening, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm doing good. And if any of our listeners would like to call in tonight, if you have any comments about anything we have to say, please feel free to call us. I'll give you the number. It's area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that again. It's area code 646-716-4893. And you can feel free to call us with any of your comments or your thoughts. If you agree with us or if you don't agree with us or if you'd like to share any information, we'd be more than happy to hear from you. So what's new with you, Misty? Are you in Florida now?
I am in the Sunshine State. The weather is magnificent. The sky, the evening skies are orange, blue, and purple. It's amazing. To hear the ocean water again, my door is open, so I hope you can hear my breeze over the phone. It's really nice.
Well,
like, no complaints.
If you're close to the ocean, that would be great.
Yes, it's nice. It's nice. I can't complain.
So this week, does anything new happen in the world of gay? I don't know if you heard about the story in New York. I know we had briefly mentioned it last time. Did you have a chance to read about that?
I've been traveling so much, and I get glimpses of it, and it absolutely disturbs me so much when I see things like that, you know, from people being bullied, people being hurt, people being killed because of their sexuality. It breaks my heart. It disturbs me. It's nothing about what, you know, you and I stand for, and it's heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. My heart goes out to all of these children, these teenagers. And I used to be a school teacher once upon a time, and it seems like a lifetime ago, and I taught high school. And you would see these kids routinely being picked on, and you would do stuff and say stuff to try to help them. And it's rough. It's rough out there. It's terrible. If it was my child, I don't know what I would do. I would be very tempted to pull them out of the school system, but, you know, you can't protect children everywhere. But every child deserves a safe environment. Every child deserves to be who they are.
I would like to just read this little article, you know, to talk about this issue. And this just came out October 15th, and it said 11 men have now been arrested in connection with an anti-gay attack in Bronx, New York. Louis Garcia, 26, was arrested by New York police yesterday after a gay man, his brother, and two teenage boys were attacked on October 3rd. Mr. Garcia is said to have wrapped a chain around his fist and punched the 30-year-old gay man twice in the head. Police said the attack took place after a gang known as the Latin King Goonies suspected that a new recruit was gay. The teenager was beaten by the gang, who then lured his older boyfriend to an empty house where he was beaten and sexually assaulted. Another teenager suspected to be gay was also allegedly beaten and sexually abused, while the older man's brother was said to have been robbed and beaten. According to the New York Daily News, prosecution says that it has enough evidence to present to a grand jury. There are 11 suspects, and all say they are not guilty. But, you know, the whole thing is, of course, they're going to say they're not guilty, but this was actually an event that happened in New York, in the Bronx, and it happened in 2010, and that's the scariest part, Misty, that, you know, we wonder why people don't want to reveal the news that they're gay, and people say, well, it's so different today than it used to be. And even though in many places it is somewhat different than it used to be, but it's still not where it needs to be. And someone has to live in fear that they're going to be beaten up and sexually abused because they're gay. This isn't moving forward. This is moving backwards. What do you think about
it? I remember, I have to agree. Do you remember the, his name was Matthew Shepard, the young kid that was, I think, from Wyoming. And I remember, I'm not, my memory's not great on news stories because, quite honestly, I deal in my work with a lot of heavy issues from people. So news is one of the first things you shield yourself from when you work with a lot of high trauma cases from clients. But, you know, I remember seeing this story of this young man such had such a promising future, and he was attacked, beaten, tortured, killed. And it was all over the news, and it was because he was gay. It was just such a hate crime. And, you know, that story, it's haunting. It's haunting. It's very haunting. And I think his mother may have written a book recently. I'm not for sure. I've not read it, but it's one that I think I would read and I would like to read. But it's just, I'm like you, Bonnie. This, I don't think we're moving anywhere forward with this. It concerns me. It doesn't help straight wives either. And it sure doesn't help a gay man that wants to live his true life. I can't imagine how hard that is. It's very concerning.
Well, I have a lot of concerns about it because, you know, we always say that the reason why men were running into the closet all these years was because they can't be authentically who they are. And, you know, the fact that society pressures them so much not to be gay. And when they're getting messages from the outside community that if you are your authentic self, you're going to be beaten up and traumatized and sexually raped. I mean, this is not the message that we're trying to give out here. You know, this to me is totally inexcusable, and it needs to really be punished. And even though Misty and I are both definitely not in favor of straight gay marriages, and I think we'll be the first to tell you that, we certainly are in favor of gay people having the same privileges and rights as straight people. You know, we're very pro-gay. We're very pro-gay rights. And to us, this is really what is happening in cases like this just sets back everybody's cause by, you know, 100 years. So it's really, you know, horrifying to think about this. But, you know, this is why people run into the closet. And you can certainly understand, you know, their fear of being out there and being gay if they have to fear, you know, being treated this way.
I think, you know, I think I opened, and I'm ashamed to say, but I think I opened my eyes to this. And it's horrific that it took something so terrible as the Matthew Shepard case. I think that's what, because, you know, I didn't grow up with those, I don't think that I grew up with those prejudices. And I'm from Eastern Kentucky. You know, I don't think I grew up with that, thinking bad things of gay people. I just didn't think I knew many gay people at the time, which I'm sure there were many. But I think that Matthew Shepard incident really opened my eyes.
And I'm surprised to hear you say that where you grew up, there wasn't much prejudice.
I'm talking about
the middle of Kentucky.
I think my family raised me quite differently. We traveled a lot. They took me into different cultures. I saw different things. I saw different people. I went to different countries. So I'm not saying everyone, absolutely not. No, it's not easy to be gay in Eastern Kentucky. Absolutely not, because if there's anyone listening in Kentucky right now, they would definitely call in and go up against me on that, and they would be true. But I think I'm a rare case in that my parents, I think they showed me the world when I was young, and I think that opened my mind to some different things. And you're right. In that part of the world, it's not easy. I'm sure there's many closeted men that are living there. I know many that are not married. You know, they're closeted in terms of for their work, they would have to be, for their profession and for their family, because I'm part of the Bible Belt. I mean, religion runs strong and deep there, and I grew up, consider myself a Christian, and a lot of the churches and religious organizations completely preach against that, and they preach that it's a choice and it's your ticket to hell if you choose to be gay. So I don't believe that way, but a lot of people do. So Eastern Kentucky is, it would not be easy to be gay in Eastern Kentucky. I'll just leave it at that. You are correct, but I think I'm an exception somewhat to the rule.
You are, but like I say, that's because you did a lot of traveling. You had parents who were very liberal. I wouldn't exactly say that's the tone in Eastern Kentucky, right?
It's not. No, it's not. You are correct in thinking that.
I know. I think the more Bible Belt you get, the more prejudice you get.
Yeah, and actually I just saw a new study coming out which set us back oh, I think umpteen years again, and I wish I could find it right now. I don't know if I can find it, but it's about a guy that's done a lot of different research, and it's about family values, and I'm not sure if you've seen it, but he's stating that it's really going against gay parents with children, stating that pretty much in a nutshell that gay parents cause children to be gay. It's getting a lot of publicity. It's just come out, and it's I think it's unfair. I think it looks like it's pretty biased.
You mean gay parents like who adopt gay children?
Yes, that's what they're saying. And I'm trying to look for. And I'm sorry, I don't have more information. I'll see if I can find more information on it because I think it's going to be a pretty hot topic. It's going to be very heated, rightfully so, because I don't quite think the it's going to hold much water. And I'm sure it's going to be an uproar in the gay community because it looks like it just seems biased. It just really seems biased, in my opinion.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they feel they can make children gay, right?
Yeah.
Living in their environment when they're not even from them, right?
Yeah, and I think that sets everyone back. That sets straight wives back. It sets gay and lesbians backwards. It's not easy. It's like you said, sometimes I really think we're going backwards when you hope and pray that we're going forwards in this world and with this. I don't think we are in many cases. I don't think we are.
Mm-hmm. Here's an interesting article I'm looking at. So I'm checking out the one that you're talking about. Did I make my child gay? And this question says, did I make my child gay? Sometimes parents of gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered kids wonder, did I make my child gay? And the answer is no. There is growing evidence that sexual orientation is too complex to simply be the product of a single factor, like a gene, or a result of how a child was raised. And all you need to do is refute the idea that parenting style determines sexual orientation, is to point out that the majority of gay and lesbian people have had straight parents. Through psychoanalysis, Sigmund Freud promoted the idea that gay children were the product of overbearing mothers and meek and passive fathers. Very few contemporary psychologists believe there is any truth to this. Letting boys play with dolls, walk around with their mother's heels, or try to make dresses does not make them gay. Letting girls climb trees and wear baseball hats does not make them lesbians. The best advice is to raise a child with love and compassion. So, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I have to agree with this. Raise a child with love and compassion. And most children, I think most gay children, and I don't know any studies on this. I'm just talking about from my line of work and the people I've been in contact with. A lot of those children do come from heterosexual parents. And we have discussed on here that research is also showing that, you know, if a child is a product of a gay straight marriage, oftentimes it runs higher in those children. And I think it's a DNA link, a genetic link, something there. And I think there's several factors that determine this. But as far as a choice, I can't buy into that. I can't buy into the fact that many people think it's a choice. I'm over that. And I was on the fence for many years. I have to say that in my younger years, I was on the fence. But going through the marriage I went through, and it was pretty rough, and just reflecting back, and you think about it, who on earth would choose that life with what you have to put up with? I just don't know anybody that would choose it.
Right, I don't get that whole thing. I mean, it's not like you're choosing which ice cream you like better, chocolate or vanilla or chocolate chip
or
chocolate mint. That's the choice.
Exactly.
But choosing your sexuality, why would you choose your sexuality and make it gay? Like, I don't get that whole thinking.
I don't think it's correct thinking. I don't get the how you go from one conclusion to another there when you figure it all up. I don't get that. It just doesn't make sense to me at all.
But I will say this, even though you don't necessarily have to have gay parents to have gay children, I really in my heart believe there is gay in the family. That It may not be the mother or father, but it could be the grandparents, it could be an uncle, it could be a cousin. I have very rarely ever seen gay as an isolated situation in any family. How about you, Missy?
I have to agree. I do believe it runs higher in some families than others. I have seen that happen. Where it comes from, I don't know, but I do think there, to me, that tells me that there has to, you know, there's the whole nature versus nurture. When it runs in a family higher than others, that leads me to think that there has to be some genetic component in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my belief. I mean, because, and then adding that to, who on earth would choose this? It's just like you said, it's not as simple as choosing, do I like chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry ice cream best? That's not what it is.
I mean, if it's nature over nurture, I mean, if it's nurture over nature, why do children from the same family have one child who's gay and two who aren't, or two children who aren't, three who are? I mean, I don't get it. Wouldn't they all be gay or all be straight if it was just a matter of the nurturing?
You would think.
Right. I would think. So, I mean, I truly in my heart believe that, you know, people are predisposed. They have genetic genes. They have genes in the family. And we've certainly seen it when we have gay husbands that there's a higher percentage of gay children that are born. So, I mean, that's, you know, my take on it. And which kind of leads us back to the whole subject that we've been, you know, touching on the last few months about telling the children. And I know that, like, you were sitting on the fence with that particular issue of, you know, gay being genetic or not. I've been sitting on the fence for a long time about telling the children. And I really, you know, had mixed feelings on it. And I kind of took, like, a safe stand. And the safe stand was, like, don't take too much of a stand on something. And so I used to feel, well, the best time for children to find out was either when they were really young and they could, you know, accept the truth easier, or when they're adults and they can deal with, you know, understanding homosexuality better. And if they're in that gray area of their teenage years or, you know, turning 8 or 10 or going into adolescence, that's not the time to tell them. And I base that on my own thoughts. You know, of course, you know, I had to tell my children when they were that age. And, you know, for different various reasons that I'll go into later. But I really thought that children are so confused by sexuality when they're in their teenage years. And to throw this into the pot, you know, to confuse them a little more, you know, really wasn't fair. And that's how I went through the last 25 or 28 years believing that, you know, it wasn't really necessarily necessary to tell your children until they're adults. You know, if they're not asking and they're not telling and your husband's not leading an actively gay life, you know, if he's moved out and he's not admitting it and he doesn't want you to tell anyone, you know, I just felt, okay, keep everything quiet, just like, you know, the children will find out later. And then all of a sudden my opinion of this has really changed in the last few months after all these years, and it takes a lot for me to ever change an opinion, as you know, because I'm pretty well formulated in everything that I think. But this really did change my mind, you know, because now that I've been working with a lot of these children who are what I call the survivors of straight gay marriages, because they're really the ones who are the children who nobody's been doing much about them, and having had some, you know, exposure now, having them on our show, having emails and letters going back and forth as I'm trying to formulate a support group for them online, it's really made me change my thinking. So in this month's October newsletter, I've written about this, and it's called Telling the Children, and I'm going to read it to our readers for those of them who haven't had a chance to hear it. And it says, every few years I have an epiphany. You know what I mean, the aha moment when things you are gray about become black and white. In the past 6 months, this has happened to me in terms of the always present issue of what to tell the children. Okay, I admit I was on the fence for the past 25 years, and believe me when I tell you I struggled with this throughout the time of my own children growing up, as well as your children growing up. I really vacillated because I felt that every situation was so different. It depended on the age of the children, excuse me, the location of where the family lives, the willingness of the father to reveal the information, the acceptance of the mother of her husband's homosexuality. I used to think that if a child was younger or older, the news would be better accepted. I really did fear telling the children in their adolescent years for fear of them questioning their own sexuality, which might further complicate their teenage years. So now, after listening to so many stories from adult survivor children of straight gay marriages, I realized that I was wrong. The children need to know as soon as possible. So let's discuss the two issue here. Why do they need to know? And two, how to tell them. Let's start with the question, why do they need to know? First, the truth may hurt some of you reading this, but it's better to face the reality than live in the fantasy. Although our husbands may be award-winning actors as they portray their parts as straight husbands during your marriage, you, the straight wife, have not developed that same talent of acting like you were happy when you know there is something missing and wrong in your marriage. Most of you are spending hours every week wondering what the problem is and how you can fix it. And when you find that nothing is changing, no matter how monumental your efforts are, you become depressed. There's no shame in this, trust me. I was there. It's really hard to keep laughing while your sense of self and sexual esteem is plummeting downwards daily. When the extent of your intimacy with your husband resorts to being a quick peck on the cheek, it's hard not to feel that sense of rejection. It doesn't take long before you move from the state of living into the state of existing. Yes, you wake up, you do your chores, you go to your job, get through the days, take care of the kids and husband, but you're on autopilot. In most cases, you have no idea what is going wrong in your marriage, but you do know it's not what marriage was supposed to be like. And even when you suspect the worst, namely the truth, you're doing your best to believe the lies your husbands are constantly telling you, hoping beyond hope that lies will miraculously turn into truths, but they never do. Stop deluding yourself by thinking your children don't know something is wrong. They do. Every child of a straight gay marriage has written to me, telling me that he or she knew something wasn't right in the home. There was a lack of affection, caring, compassion, and loving. Excuse me. It didn't mean the dad wasn't a good dad. It just means that the marriage wasn't a good marriage. Children know it. They can sense it, and guess what? They sense your unhappiness. They hear you're crying. They see you taking medication in the form of antidepressants. They sense your struggle, even though they don't know what the struggle is about. When you do find out the truth, if you don't leave the marriage, you are covering up the truth. Like I said, you are covering up the truth. By the time you find out, excuse me, your husband has now let down his defenses and started to get careless. Almost all of these children found evidence of their father's homosexuality before you did via the internet, cell phones, or pornographic material in the home. But now you feel backed against the corner to keep his secret. Let me tell you as a fact, this kind of secret destroys families. What do you think, Misty?
I absolutely agree. We've heard from so many different women, especially once their children have got old enough and become adults, and some of the stories they've told them about this burden that they carried for so many years, thinking it would be their fault if they told the mother or they mentioned it to the father that they found some type of gay porn. And that's not something for any child to grow up with, to have to carry.
No, I think it's very devastating to the children. And, like I said, I think that telling secrets, and, then there's the point, why are we keeping this a secret? A secret implies something bad. And,
exactly.
A couple of people already wrote to me about this. Are we keep giving the message that homosexuality is bad? What do you think about that?
I really like how you go on in your newsletter and point that out, that the secret, you're just perpetuating a secret. And when you keep secrets, there's the famous saying in the therapy world that, secrets can make you sick, and different types of secrets. Well, when you keep secrets, it just builds up and builds up and builds up, and you feel this pressure to hide it even more. And usually the reason people keep a secret is because they think it's something bad. How often do you keep a secret when it's good? It's really great, wonderful news. You don't. You share it. So there is that connotation that when you keep the secret, it's something bad or wrong. I think it just perpetuates the whole cycle, and it I don't think it really does anyone any good. I mean, the secret.
No, I agree. I think that by keeping something secret is implying that there's something wrong.
I completely
agree. I mean,
that's
the way I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Right?
Yep.
Miss me?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Hello?
Yes, I do feel that way. Hello? I can hear you.
Are you there, Misty?
Yes, I hear you. Can you not hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay,
yeah, I'm
good.
I'm saying that I think what it does is that when you put them, you know, this is a secret. It's a dark space they don't want to be in. And I say they feel they are caught in a web of deceit affecting both their parents. They don't want to be the cause of the breakup of a marriage. They know their fathers are cheating, but they're afraid of hurting their mothers. They don't want their fathers to be mad at them, so they keep silent, seeing their mothers hurting and feeling helpless to do anything to help their mothers. And that's when I said, what are we doing to these precious children? We are giving them all the wrong messages about love, marriage, and trust. How the heck are they supposed to find positive relationships in their future when they look at their teachers, namely us, their parents, and feel such a sense of confusion? So I write, yes, the secret should not be kept a secret. It should be discussed as soon as the wife has time to process it. And it should be told to the children by both parents. However, some of the fathers refuse to do this, still thinking about protecting themselves before protecting the mental health of their children. In that case, you will have to become the teller of the news on your own. Give your husband a chance to tell it with you, but if he refuses, be firm and tell him that you will do it yourself. I know that some of you are shuddering by now. As loving, kind, compassionate women, you are often the keeper of the secret for your gay husbands. You continue to protect them long after they are living their gay lives because they ask you to, because they don't want people to know. Let's be honest. What are you protecting them from? Why aren't you protecting your children? Why should your children live in the mystery of why a marriage ended? And in some cases, blame you for the end of the family life. This makes no sense. I look at this like the domino effect. Your husband has no choice in his homosexuality. He married you with the hopes and dreams of being a good straight husband, but it's not happening over time. So he's falling and he knocks you down. Now the pressure of both of you falling is knocking down the children. Who are the real victims here? Mismarriages, or mistakes in a marriage, as I call them, happen. The issue of fault is not the issue when it comes to the children. Gay men make the mistake, and most often unintentionally, but they can fix it. They don't have to linger in your life forever, making you feel more trapped than they feel being where they don't belong. As adults, you have the power to rebuild your lives again, even though many of you feel powerless. With help, counseling, and support, it does happen all the time. But who is there to rebuild your children? Why wouldn't you think that your marriage wouldn't affect them? Trust me when I tell you that it does. The emotional damage that it can cause them will fill their lifetimes. That is why you owe it to them to do the right thing and tell them the truth before they find it out some other way or from someone else. Your children won't thank you for protecting them as some of you think. They'll wonder why you couldn't be honest with them and then wonder what else wasn't true in their lives that you wanted to protect them from. As far as how to tell them, well, that's another story. It can't be told with anger in your voice and venom in your heart, no matter how you are feeling at the moment. Remember, this is not about you. It's about your children. When you talk about their father in a derogatory way, don't think they won't be internalizing it because they will. Your children don't have to be your allies. You have friends and family for that. The children need to feel a sense of security and love from both parents, even when one of them may be acting like a total jerk. And to my gay men reading this, trust me, it's not the gay that makes these men total jerks. It's the lack of responsibility, financially and emotionally, to the families after they leave. And while I'm on that subject, I don't really care how gay husbands now have the chance to find themselves after being tormented in a mismarriage for years. The family still has to come first, and if first, that's correct. That's the correct, responsible thing to do. I make no excuses for irresponsible gay husbands who are too busy having fun in their newfound freedom to remember their grieving families. None. So that's where the problem comes in. It's not really when to tell the children, but how you tell them that's the issue. Homosexuality cannot be used as a weapon in the truth. Using derogatory words about gay is not going to help. That is why wives have to be able to separate their personal own antagonisms based on their hurt from this discussion. Telling your children that their daddy is a faggot who likes to screw men is totally inappropriate. This is not going to make your children feel better about the situation. You can't use gay as the target of your anger when telling the children the news. This is where loving them and putting their needs for emotional stability before your need for revenge comes into play. Children don't have to visualize their father's sex habits in order to know about homosexuality. It's bad enough that you're smacked in the face with it, but you're an adult. It's hard enough for you to figure it out. Don't expect them to be able to deal with these thoughts. They shouldn't have to. All they need to know is this. People are born differently. Some are tall, some are short, some are white, some are black, some have blue eyes, some have brown eyes, some are straight, and some are gay. People don't choose to be gay. They are born that way. They don't always know it because there's no big G on their bodies when they are born. The homosexuality develops at different times in each person's life. Some people know it early, some know it later. There's no set time, which is the problem. For those that develop this later, they don't understand or know it at the time they are getting married. The marriage was brought together by love, and the children were born out of this love. 3, when a gay man realizes he's gay, he needs to love his wife and children enough to be honest with them because he doesn't want his family to suffer anymore. As a gay man, he can't be the kind of husband his wife needs, but he can still be an important part of the family. And 4, a gay man can still be a wonderful father. His love for his children hasn't changed, even if the marriage does change. Do I have all the answers? No, not yet. But I think this is a good start. It's an objective start. Look, when my kids were growing up and my ex-husband was acting like a jerk, I had to bite my tongue a lot so I wouldn't say derogatory things about him that would affect them. Sometimes I bit it so hard that it was swelling out of my mouth. There were plenty of times I wanted to call him every horrible name in the book, but I didn't, not to them. I saved it for my family and friends. To my children, I turned my ex into a prince. I didn't do it for him, I did it for them. I wanted them to feel secure that their parents loved them, regardless of the fact that we couldn't live with each other. I also knew that children are created from two parents. If they believe that one of them is defective, they internalize that something is wrong with them. It deteriorates their own sense of self-esteem, which affects their future as far as positive relationships. I see it all over the time. I see it all of the time in our children as they find themselves in destructive relationships as they grow older because they don't feel worthy of anything better. And guess what? I told my children when I felt I had no choice. My ex refused to tell them, even though I repeatedly asked him to. They would be in his home and find things his children do, magazines, videos, and other things. They would see him in bed sleeping with other men. By the time they were in their early teens, I felt I had no choice. They were confused, and I felt that as they grew into their teenage years, they needed to understand what was going on. And so, with great sensitivity, I told them because their father couldn't, or shall I say, wouldn't. My ex was leading an actively gay life, and my children were around it whenever they visited him. He thought he was hiding it because he wasn't holding hands or showing public displays of affection, but children are far more perceptive than that. I felt the words had to be spoken because they were asking me questions that need to be addressed. Once my ex knew, I told him, was he mad? Infuriated is putting it mildly. He told me that I had no business to tell his business. But I told him he had no right living a life that the children were seeing and pretending like it wasn't happening. How confused were they supposed to be growing up? We didn't speak for nearly a year after I dropped the news, but I have no regrets. In fact, in later years, when my daughter came to terms with her homosexuality, at least she understood that she didn't have to live her life in a closet, pretending to be who she wasn't because she didn't have to feel the shame that her father felt throughout his life. My son, on the other hand, felt it was his secret to keep from his friends, and that was his choice. He loved his father dearly, but he didn't want people to know he had a gay father. I respected that decision. My son was certainly pro-gay, but he didn't want people to know his father was gay. You see, if your children choose to keep the secret from their friends, that's fine. But at least give them the knowledge to make that choice. So, yes, there are no easy answers in this most complex situation, but as I tell the men who come to me, the truth will set you free. I'm now telling this, it will also set your children free. Please think about this and feel free to get back to me with your thoughts and stories. We owe this to your children. And you know what? I've gotten some really great responses back, Misty. I can't wait for my next newsletter to come out.
Wonderful.
I think people will really be surprised by some of these, you know, responses that I've gotten.
Wonderful. I can't wait to see them.
Yeah, but how do you feel on this whole issue now?
I have to agree, and when I learned about telling children the truth and not shielding them from something such as this when I worked for hospice, and I know that's not comparing the two, but, you know, when you're experiencing a death, you certainly can't hide the secret. And I would see some families just keep trying to hide the secret until the person was ready to pass away, and it would do so much damage to the children. And those children that it was kept from them and hid and not told the truth had a longer recovery process and the bereavement. So, you know, they experience more complications sometimes. So I really learned by working with so many children, honesty is always the best policy. It holds true with children, too. That doesn't mean that you tell them every minute detail. Children don't need details. They need honesty. And I think what's so important that you pointed out in your newsletter is, you know, if both parents will not set the child or children down to tell him, the straight wife has to make sure, like you said, she doesn't have anger or venom in her heart when she tells the story. You can't do it from that angle. You have to do it from a very loving and accepting way. Because
right,
it's so
you can't
important.
Do it out of your revenge. And, you know, one of the things I want to say about some women, and I think you probably find this too, a lot of women want to use their children as their allies. You know, like they have to get a support team together for, you know, having support against their gay husband. And believe me, I understand this. You know, I've been there, done it. But once again, you don't need your children to be your allies with this.
No.
You know,
no.
You don't need
children.
Their support against their father. This is not really the right thing to put them in the middle of. Wouldn't you say that?
Absolutely. Your allies that you talk about, your deepest, darkest secrets, your fears of the relationship, of where it's going, what's going to happen, all those things, those are with other adult friends. Those and people that will keep your thoughts safe. People that you can talk to and say things to. Children never need to bury that burden of pain. They don't need to carry that. And this is a huge burden of pain when a straight wife finds out that her husband that she loves is gay. It's a huge burden of pain. It's huge frustration. For many, it's traumatic. So, you know, give yourself time to process this through friends, through support, through a professional. Whatever your support team is, you know, that's one of the things we always talk about, Bonnie, is a support team. You need a support team. It needs to be made up of adults and professionals that you can trust. That's where you take out your frustrations, your concerns, your complications of what's going on, but you never, ever put your children on your team. Children are not there to be on your team or the father's team. Children are there to be loved, nurtured, and to magnificent little human adults, and just nurture them, love them, and give them honesty.
And I want to tell you, I can appreciate from every single mother what you're going through, because raising children, being a single mother, is very, very difficult. And there's so many different extenuating circumstances that, you know, our women have, because many of them are pretty much left to do it on their own. They don't have the financial or emotional support from their husbands when their husbands leave the marriage and they're off there running and finding their own life and finding themselves and everything else. And a lot of times it's really hard. I mean, I know that I had to really push myself a lot of times when I was so angry at my ex-husband and my kids, and, you know, or that kids were saying something about me, and they'd say, well, Daddy wouldn't do this to us, or Daddy wouldn't do that. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, your daddy isn't here. I am. But, you know, it's so hard to try to keep that, you know, not to get that message conveyed to them, because they know how to pull your buttons and chains, too, and mm-hmm. how to play one against the other. But, you know, once again, you can't let the husband be the target of the problems here. You really, it's really not healthy for them, and that has to be our number one concern, is how are our children's mental health doing, right?
Exactly. It has to be, you know, children are precious, and you don't want to do anything to hinder what adults, magnificent people, they're turning into. They need that love, nurturing, and stability. So if you use your children as pawns, children are not going to feel stable. They're going to feel tugged. You know, it's like they're in the tug of war. You don't want that, and I see that happen in straight divorces and gay straight divorces all the time, and that's not the way it should be. You know, parents need to air their dirty laundry, so to speak, with each other and with their support team that are adults, not with children. Don't involve your children in it.
And also, I have to implore women to understand that if you're not happy in your marriage and you think you're hiding that from your kids, you're really you're only deluding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Your children will know when you're not happy. I haven't met the child yet who says, yes, my parents were happy, when they weren't. Now, they may not know why, or they
mm-hmm.
may not know that gay is the issue, but they know what isn't normal in a household. And they hear that you're upset, and they hear that you're frustrated, and it's really, like I say, it's hard for you to withhold your anger, or you're being upset or depressed. And, you know, we've talked before on the show, Misty, about how many women start turning to antidepressants as their
mm-hmm.
salvation from living with their gay husbands and having to live with that pain. And if you think for a minute, kids don't know that their parents are popping these pills. They know their parents are depressed, and they're wondering why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is my mom having to take an antidepressant? You know, what is she depressed about? And that's why I say children internalize this stuff. You know, you think they don't know what's going on. They know everything going on. Think back to when you were a child, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
When you were a child, did you know what, then when your parents were having fights?
I think every child does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, parents think they hide that sort of thing so well. They don't. Children are very intuitive little beings. They pick
mm-hmm.
up those things. They know. It's just like you said, they may not know what's wrong, but they know something's up. They know that they're not getting that love and stability from a nurturing relationship if the parents are getting along well. And by no
right.
means am I saying that children have to, you know, come from that, because divorced parents can raise children in a stable, nurturing environment. They can do that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, you don't have to be living under the same roof to be giving your child a very good upbringing, a very nurturing, stable, loving environment. It does not have to take place under one roof.
It's really interesting. I was doing a show earlier this evening. I have an author's co-op show called Books of Excellence. And I run an author's co-op for independent authors. And on the show, I had a gentleman who I've met several times now. He's 77 years old. He lives in Las Vegas. And his name is Robert Baumgart. And he wrote a couple of books about his memoirs from growing up. And let me tell you something. These are not national bestsellers, you know, but they're very enjoyable books about his life. He grew up through the Depression years with his parents and, you know, in the Baltimore area, and then it talks another book about his, you know, marriage and moving around and his children. And nothing that you might think you might be interested in until you start reading it, and it's just so interesting and compelling the way he writes it. So they're two nice little books, and I was interviewing him on the show, and it was so nice that he was married for 39 years, had a wonderful, wonderful marriage. Still 10 years later, his wife has been dead for 10 years. He still celebrates every anniversary, even though she's not there with him. And what was so interesting is that two of his children called into the show to talk about their dad and how wonderful he was. And I thought, you know, it's just so nice to see a functional family. And, yeah, they had problems, and there's stuff that goes on. Nothing is perfect, but it's a loving, cohesive family. And his children grew up, and they have wonderful children and grandchildren who are successful in school and doing well because they knew what to look for in a relationship because they role modeled themselves after what, you know, wanted what their parents had. And that's my whole point. You know, you look at what your parents have, and that's usually what you end up with because that's the only thing you know from. You know, if your parents didn't have a successful marriage, chances are you're not going to have a successful marriage because you don't know anything differently. I mean, my parents had a horrible marriage, and, you know, that's what I grew up with, and that's what I thought marriage was supposed to be about. And that, you know, I was kind of doomed from the beginning and picking wrong partners and wrong marriages because I didn't know any better. Because, like I say, we role model ourselves with what we grow up with.
We teach our children about relationships, whether it's good or bad. I always say that. When, you know, a child, the first relationship that they learn the most about is from their parents. That relationship that they see their parents in and the relationship they have with their parents and with their siblings. They see what that's like. That's where they learn. They're so impressionable at those young ages, and that's what they learn is normal.
And even when you have a normal relationship like you had, you know, with your parents, Misty, because you had very normalized parents, it's still not a guarantee that you're not going to, you know, have a bad relationship. But at least you'll know when you're in that relationship what it's not supposed to be and that it was a mistake, right?
It took me a long time to learn that, absolutely. And I just minimized so many things. And that was my problem because I don't think I had enough red flags growing up of what would be a bad marriage. I mean, which that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing that I grew up in a good home, in a good, stable home. But I just was not able to recognize some of the badness, and I would minimize it. And that's not a good thing. And it took me way longer than I should have taken to figure that out. But I had married for life, like many of our women do. I really wanted to work hard to make it work. Well, some things you can't make work.
Now, Missy, here's a question for you. Now that maybe I'm thinking backwards, but, you know, maybe the fact that you came from such a good family, you know, you grew up with parents who were loving and kind and good parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who set a good example of what marriage should be about. Do you think that's why you felt like more of a failure in your marriage because you couldn't make it like theirs?
Yeah, I think absolutely it played into it. Absolutely it played into it because he also came from a set of parents that were still together. And the only thing that separated his parents was death. And, you know, he lost his mom. So, you know, his parents have remained married. My parents are still married today. And, yeah, absolutely, that played a huge part of staying in the relationship. You know, I think he wanted to make it work, and I wanted to make it work. We just didn't have what it took to make it work. I could not sit back and not be who I was. He could not sit back and not be who he was. It just wasn't fair for either side. So I'm the one that actually filed for divorce. We would probably still be married today, which is a little bit scary, if I had not filed for divorce. And I think a lot of our women go through that we work with. They're the ones that have to initiate the divorce. And that's hard. It's hard to do that.
Why do you think it's so hard for women to just give up on a relationship even when they know how bad it is? Like, we see that happen sometimes with our women who know what the answer is. They know they have to get out. They know it's destructive.
I work with myself and with the women I work with. I think there's so many factors. One is the religion I grew up in. You know, I consider myself a Christian. And marriage is not taken lightly. It's taken for life, and that's what I thought would happen. So that was one thing that played into it. My parents being married and still married, it was just a very important aspect of my family legacy that their children would get married and they would pick mates for life. Well, that's not how it happens all the time, you know? So there's lots of roles in that, and just the expectations that I put upon myself to to make it work, and trying to make it work is when I got sucked so hard right into that circle of crazy that I talk about sometimes. I just kept diminishing who I was. I was being the chameleon, just changing and just dancing in that circle of crazy to make things change because I thought it would make it better. Each time I danced, I lost another piece of who I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I let it go on so long that I'd lost my identity. I'd lost any hope. I was living on borrowed hope from tomorrow, and my tomorrow never came with a relationship. I always thought it would get better tomorrow. I thought it would be better next week if I did this, or if I kept the house cleaner, or if I had the literally had the towels folded better, or the dishes washed better, or if I cooked better, that would make things work. So each time things like that came about, I kept blaming myself. So when I blamed myself more, that gave me this false sense that I was in control of the relationship. So if I changed more and became better, my relationship would survive. And it was in my hands. And that's not
Missy,
true.
Missy, can you just put in a few words for our Christian friends who are listening? Because I'm not good at this since I'm Jewish. But, you know, from the Christian point of view, when women, you know, call us or write to us and tell us how difficult it is because they were, you know, good Christians, they believe in marriage, they don't believe in divorce, they're miserable, what do you tell them?
Oh, my. Well, obviously the first thing is I can't make their decision for them, but I can help support them in that. One, you're going to have to find someone that you trust as a Christian, whether it be a minister, whether it be someone in the church that understands and believes in gay rights. That is becoming easier to find today, believe it or not. You know, 10 years ago, it was not as easy. There's lots of different Christian organizations out there that do support gay rights. So, number one, I would say find someone you can talk to, so that you don't have so much guilt in making your marriage work. Because you can't, one person can't make a marriage work. It's setting yourself up for disaster after disaster. I can't imagine being in the relationship. I got married in 1991, and this is the year 2010. If I was still married today, I don't want to even think where I would be. I know I wouldn't be where I am today. So first step is you have to find someone that you can talk to and that you trust in the Christian realm of your religion, whatever it is. And like I said, there's lots of people out there. I think marriage is sacred, so certainly don't get me wrong there. It should never be taken lightly, in my opinion, in my Christian viewpoint. But also there's things that can help marriages work, and there's things that they just don't work. My ex, and not all exes, are quite as sexually promiscuous as my ex was. But to me, that was one ground that I found. Well, you know, it does say that in the Christian belief that you're supposed to be faithful to each other. However, there's a lot of personal opinions with that, and I'm not even going to open up that can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I had to sit down. I had to develop my own relationship with God. So once you find someone that you trust and you trust their viewpoint and they can point out certain things for you to help you get on that path, you sit down and develop your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what saved me. I had to close out those outside forces that were being very judgmental and not always in good ways. You know, Bonnie, you and I have worked with women, and one dear lady comes up to my mind right now. She was told that by her minister that she trusted that she should stay with her now ex-husband because if he had cancer, she should stay with him till death do them part. So he treated it like it was a disease, a disorder. Homosexuality is not a disease. It's not a disorder. You know, it's just like, you know, there's some straight people and there's some gay people. So, you know, you have to be careful where you seek advice from. It's not widely accepted in all churches, So that's where you have to be. You're going to have to do some research. You can go online and do some research. And, you know, I would be happy to direct any woman that's having that struggle. I had it myself. I remember laying in bed at night, crying at night, thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm going to go straight to hell because I'm going to get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
God's frowning on me. God says I have to make this work. I'll never be able to marry again. I've made a mess of my life. Well, you know what? I've not made a mess of my life. I fixed my life. I got divorced. I'm the one that had to go through the divorce process. I had to sign the divorce papers. My ex would have never done that. And he, matter, and, you know, I had to face some repercussions from him because he accused me of destroying the marriage, destroying our love, and things like that. And sure, he loved me in his own way, but it was not a marriage. It was not a marriage in the way that it should be. So, you know, you've got to find that community that understands people being gay and that you can talk to, and they understand the Bible if that's what's important to you, because that was important to me. And I think you have to develop your own relationship with God and seek your guidance. And I would be happy to direct any woman in that direction, because it's a living nightmare being there to have to stay with someone, because, you know, it's, marriage is not taken lightly in the Christian faith. I don't know anyone that takes marriage lightly. So it's very, it was very difficult. And I stayed 10 years longer than I should have, and my marriage was about 10 years. So,
wow.
You know, because I learned very early on something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a long marriage. It was a tough marriage. It was a dangerous marriage. He would get explosive. So, you know, you just have to have that relationship and develop that relationship with God and seek people that understand where you're coming from. And when you seek those people, be careful, because some people will guide you to stay, just like they did, you know, a dear friend of ours that is part of Air Straight Wife Network, telling her to stay. So be careful, especially if it's dangerous. And her situation was very dangerous, not only with her ex gay, he was very explosive. So, I mean, her life was in danger. I don't think God expects me to stay with anyone when my life is in danger. And my life was in danger. Not because he was gay, but he was abusive as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was just another complication added on top of the whole mess.
Mm-hmm.
The domestic violence and being gay. And I just, in my heart now, I know I made the right decision. It was something I had to come to peace with. So for every straight wife out there, they think you're doing something wrong, you're the one that has to come to peace with this, and you have to seek out the support that will help you come to peace with this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we've covered a line of things for people to think about tonight, especially with telling their children and coming from a marriage, you know, where there's Christianity in there and having to make hard decisions. And what we can tell you is that each week we'll keep discussing these situations, although there are no easy answers for them. Missy and I are certainly going to try to at least discuss it and give you some things to think about. And then you can always write to me at bondk@aol.com if you would like to get my newsletters. And also you can look at Misty's website at mistyhall.com. Is that right, Misty?
That is correct. M-I-S-T-I.
Mistyhall.com.
Remember that I on there. Mm-hmm.
Misty?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. I can hear you.
Are you there, Misty?
I am. I'm here. I hear you fine and well.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you answer back, but it's mistyhall.com?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And also, Misty, what about your upcoming seminars?
I have two coming up. The first one coming up, I'm going to do just a little bit different. It's the Saturday seminar, which will be on November the 13th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this was a little bit different because I've labeled it picking up the pieces. So instead of having a very set, structured Saturday seminar, this one will be open. Each person brings in an issue that they would like to discuss and like guidance and advice on. And not only will they get mine, they'll get the collective group of all the women that are in the group on that day. So I think this is going to be a really interesting and very interactive Saturday seminar. I'll also give, of course, I'll give some general advice that would fit everyone. So please do join us if you can. And that's, once again, on November 13th. The other one that I've started advertising, it filled up pretty quickly last year. So if you're interested, I would encourage you to go ahead and get signed up. It's the holiday workshop, Getting Through the Holidays. As you know.
And I think that's the hardest time for women to get through that holiday time. And it's starting soon because, you know, it's the Thanksgiving's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it the big holiday lump time between Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day. You know, you have constant reminders smacking your face.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You have all these pictures dreamed up. All the, you know, the marketing world has and the media has all these lovey-dovey commercials, the diamond commercials, the couples together. You know, and that's wonderful. But if you're recently going through a divorce, a separation, or finding out that your husband's gay, you're not probably experiencing a lot of romance during this time. And, you know, you're going through this grief, through this loss. And I have to say, last year, of all the workshops and Saturday seminars that I've put together, the holiday workshop one was one of my absolutely favorites. And I actually got more responses from that than any other one I've ever offered. So it encouraged me to do another one because, like you said, I think it's very needed. It doesn't start for Thanksgiving, but it does start on December 13th. It will take you through many of the important holidays, and it will take you all the way through the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very helpful to gather with those women on that Monday night and just connect, talk, converge together, you know, get ideas, and I help people with different tips. We'll cover lots of tips to go through that are very helpful, very helpful. One lady I just talked to, it was so rewarding to me. She told me that the holiday workshop absolutely got her through the holidays, that she did not know where she would be if she hadn't taken that. Because she had just recently found out, and she met some of the women in there that she still talks to today. So,
isn't that wonderful?
You know, it was. It just, and when she told me that, I thought, you know what, because we talked about this a while back. That's when I realized, okay, I have to do a repeat. I have to do the holiday workshop again, and I'll do that every year, the holiday workshop. So if you're interested in that, please let me know and just send me an email at Misty Lynn Hall, M-I-S-T-I-L.
Well, Misty, I still can't hear you right now. We must be having trouble with our connection. But if you can't hear Misty, maybe you can hear me. Misty Lynn Hall, MistyLynnHall, and Misty did get disconnected. So write to her in care of AOL.com. Or you can always write to me at bondk@AOL.com, and I will certainly forward your message to Misty. I think Misty's ready to come back. Are you back, Misty?
I am. I was talking to myself. I apologize. I don't know how long I talked to myself.
Well, I'm glad you're back. Yes, I was talking to you too, and you were gone. But I did want to let our listeners know also that we're having our exciting get-together in Florida in just a few weeks from now. We'll be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, November 6th and 7th. So there's still time to join us if you would like to come for one day or both days. There's no cost for this except for your lodging. And Misty and I will be having a healing weekend with all of our women who are coming to meet other women for live support. These are always the most memorable weekends that people ever have. So if you're looking for that kind of live support, please, you know, join us. You can write to me at bondk@AOL.com. And please think about what we talked about tonight. I know that it's really hard to deal with sometimes the thought of having to tell your children. And, you know, what makes it even harder, Misty, is the fact that there are women, of course, whose husbands would admit that they're gay.
Yes.
So, you know, I know that that's really an issue for a lot of women also, but we'll discuss that at a later show. You know, going on your instincts, going with what you know, because from some men you'll never get that confession and your life has to go on. But think about what we talked about tonight. If you would like to get a copy of my newsletter, if you haven't read it yet, or you're not on my list, please feel free to write to me, and I'll be happy to send it to you at bondk@AOL.com. And I guess that's it for tonight, right, Misty?
That's it.
All right. So we're sending our love to everyone. Have a wonderful week. If you need us, you know how to find us. Otherwise, we'll be back here next Sunday night. And have a great night, Misty, and a great week.
Thank you. Good night and love to all. Okay.
Love to all. Bye-bye.